Chris, thank you for taking the time to hop on.
Happy to do it, man. Hope you're having a good Friday night so far.
Thank you so much. I got no complaints. Last night, I think there's a couple of fans in Western New York who might have had some complaints or some head-scratching thoughts. The Buffalo Bills did take a wide receiver seconds ago with Keon Coleman. What gives? Why did they trade back, and why Keon?
Well, I think, let's see, I'll handle the last part first, and then we can get to what went on last night and led to that. I think in Keon Coleman, the Bills see a plug-and-play replacement for Gabriel Davis. Now, they still have the issue of replacing Stephon Diggs, who I'm sure you and your audience are aware was traded to Houston this offseason. But Davis left in free agency prior to that, and he was, despite Diggs' prominence, Davis was the guy that never left the field on this team. Like, game after game, you'd see him at, like, 98% of the offensive snaps. And a part of that was because he was a well-rounded player, big body, and was a very willing run blocker. And if you dig into Keon Coleman's profile and get past all the circus catches he made while he was playing for Florida State and even going back to his days at Michigan State, there is a willingness to participate in that part of the game. So I think a big part of the allure is not to say that they're not looking for receiving traits and looking for explosive plays. I just don't know that you go looking to Keon Coleman for that. He's not, to me, an explosive player with the ball in his hands. He'll make some dramatic highlight reel catches, but I think how well-rounded he is, the try-hard in the run game, is a big key to this for the Bills.
You know, Christopher Park is here from WGR up in Buffalo, New York. The Buffalo Bills traded back twice here. There were some wide receivers, especially the one that the Panthers took in Leggett, that I said he would be ideal for Buffalo. His size, his skill, a powerful wide receiver, he would do great in the elements. Why did they trade back twice? And more importantly, was there no concern trading with the Chiefs?
Well, you know, you tell me what you want here, because I've been kind of an agent of chaos all day. I just got done with my own show here in Buffalo, which is 3 to 7 Buffalo time. And like, the Chiefs are very much in all of our heads, and I definitely am a victim of that. So, you know, I hear they're trading back. Okay, well, that's smart. Get some extra assets. You know, maybe all these guys are kind of the same to you. Great. Wait, you're trading back with the Chiefs? What? And they're taking the guy that I had pegged. That was my favorite outcome in round one at 28, if the Bills didn't trade up or down, was they stay there and make the pick. Xavier Worthy sounds great. Need for speed. I've been after it for 4 years, really since the Bills lost to the Chiefs in the AFC title game at the end of the 20 season. I thought one of the big differences between the two teams was speed. And the Chiefs at that time, of course, had Tyreek Hill. The Bills have never really addressed it. So I like the Worthy idea a lot. So we got to kind of get the Chiefs out of our kitchens and recognize that, well, for one, I think it's probably pretty likely that the Chiefs would have gotten to Xavier Worthy one way or another. And so from the Bills' standpoint, I respect them being devoted to their process enough to go, all right, Andy Reid's on the phone, or probably was the GM or an assistant GM, but would I like the idea of Reid with the mustache on the phone, and it's even a helmet phone if you want. I'm showing my age now. They want to move up, and the Bills not being shook by that and just going, fine, you know what? We don't have a first-round grade on any of these guys, and I don't really care what Kansas City does. Like, I respect it, but it also terrifies me, if you can rectify those two divergent opinions about it.
Nah, I can certainly understand being terrified. And yes, sure, we have an entire day, another Saturday to go through the draft. And then things are pretty much set here with the Buffalo Bills and their roster. Sands going through training camp and guys who might get released and cut and bargains and what have you. This doesn't feel like an offseason where they've gotten better. It feels like an offseason where they've pretty much either A, stayed the same, or slightly got a little worse, no?
Oh, yeah. Dude, I mean, their two starting receivers on the outside are gone. They've replaced them so far now with what I think is a plug-and-play replacement for Gabriel Davis, who I desperately did not want the Bills to re-sign because I think he's a pretty limited player. Not a full route tree, not a lot of separation. There's just not, you know, he gives you one thing, and he's really good at that one thing, you know, getting downfield and you know, yards per catch are really good. But down in, down out, I think the Bills have been missing a second weapon. So they replaced Davis with Coleman. Okay, that might be a wash, and you know, we'll live with that. You're telling me Curtis Samuel's replacing Stephon Diggs?
No.
I mean, Samuel hasn't had 700 yards in a season since he was playing with Cam Newton. So, I mean, I don't know, man. I'm still worried about what kind of offense they want to run and who they want to be on that side of the ball. Because when Joe Brady took over last year, they became one of, if not the most run-heavy team in the league. And I'm pretty sure you would know this. They've got a unicorn freakazoid at quarterback. And I don't know. If they're trying to, like, backslide into becoming a more run-heavy team, I think they're going the wrong way.
Well, Christopher, that was going to be my next question about that freakazoid. Josh Allen is so talented. There's plenty of times where he's been tasked with doing too much or just going out there and doing too much himself, whether it's opening himself up to hits or turning the ball over. We know his usage rate is through the roof. This is before and after Diggs. And now we're after Diggs again. Is there not a concern that Superman puts on the cape and thinks he has to save everybody and then gets sick? Like, there has to be a concern here about Josh Allen.
I mean, that's exactly the prism from which I am talking to you from, just viewing it through. Like, that's exactly what I'm worried about, is that they've got this guy at quarterback and, you know, they had, listen, there's been a lot. This offseason has been heavy. I mean, they didn't just divest themselves of Diggs and Davis. They lost a fantastic center in Mitch Morse. They lost their safety tandem in Poyer and Hyde. They've lost Tre'Davious White. I mean, they've lost a lot. So to think about all of that and still think about contending, I think you need to really supplement this passing game, and they've only really just started doing it. And I don't even know how impactful Keon Coleman is supposed to be in that.
Well, when you think about all of the just emerging teams, you would think, you would hope in the AFC. You know, the Jets, let's just pretend that Aaron Rodgers is healthy for a season. We always know the AFC North is ridiculously competitive. You think about the young teams in the AFC South with the Texans. Yeah, they just added Diggs. I mean, come on now. What's best case scenario for the Bills? They've been fighting with the Chiefs the past couple of seasons to get to the Super Bowl. And now it seems like they've taken a step back. What's best case scenario this year? What's realistic?
I mean, those aren't necessarily the same answer. Like, best case scenario is that Keon Coleman is better than I'm. Yeah, and look, I'm all right with them picking this guy. I just don't think he's a guy that's really going to move the meter, at least not right away. It may take some time, and maybe he'll turn out to be an excellent player. You know, but we're years away from that. In the short term, they, you know, and we'll see what the rest of today brings. I mean, they are armed because of these trade backs with now three picks today when they only had one when this all began last night. So that's to their credit. So maybe, you know, best case scenario, they double dip at receiver, find a guy like, I like Javon Baker an awful lot, who might be someone you can get near the end of round two or even in round three. And they do that and they get two kicks at the can at receiver. You know, then you'll start to maybe get somewhere with this offense sort of maintaining what it's been. But realistically, right now, I'm not sure where their passing game is.
Yeah, I may have to sign up. You think I could play wide out? I'll play a little bit, something, right?
Oh, man, I haven't seen your hops. I don't know.
Nah, I haven't jumped in a long time, but I think I'd do okay. I think I'd be okay. Hey, Chris, thank you so much. I feel bad for the fans in Buffalo. I feel like they're getting slapped in the face like the Falcons fans just a little bit. This is just, I guess, the nature of the beast. Where can people follow you on air, Chris? Tell us in. Fill us in.
I am weekday afternoon, 3 p.m. to 7 p.m. on the mighty WGR Sports Radio 550 here in Buffalo, a fellow Odyssey station. And on Twitter, BulldogWGR.
Hey, Christopher, thank you so much. I think we're all eager to see what the Bills do throughout the rest of this draft, as well as through the offseason. You enjoy the weekend, okay? Thank you for the time.
You too. Anytime, man. Thanks.